play. Anyway, we could get into that another time. I think I've already gotten into that. Too
low. You have.
I've complained too much. But
all of us have experienced changing shops, and with the way this industry is, that should not be surprising. This week on Flag Time.
Which is not legal, but I don't care, so.
Yay!
Hey, well, welcome to this episode of the Flag Time Podcast. It's the Automotive Service Podcast, where we talk a lot about, not that, season four, episode two. That's what it is.
Jeez.
We went back in time. But no.
Back in time.
Oh, my God. What are we going to talk about this episode? I remember the topic for this episode. Yeah. Topic for this episode is going to be switching shops, because all of us have experience in that now. And
I think I have the most experience in that.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
But we'll go ahead and start this episode off by. So, JJ. You just got a new position at Galpin Auto. That's what it is.
Gas.
Yes, Galpin Auto Sports. How it's has that game. Been?
Gas.
See what we did there?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's been fucking insane. I anticipated that it was going to be challenging and that it was going to be different, and it has just. It's so wildly different from my other jobs that I've had in the industry so far, because like I started out as a K1 speed kart track mechanic.
Right.
And then I worked at Tesla for a year, and then I moved to Galpin where I worked in the Polestar and Volvo shop. And now I'm at Galpin Auto Sports. So like those three other shops were, you know, essentially brand specific, you know, working on that model and blah, blah, blah. And so now I'm at Galpin Auto Sports, which is a shop that does customs and exotics and restorations and performance vehicles, like, you know, fucking race
the one
cars
that I went
shit
to.
Yeah. Was yeah.
I watched you guys a little tour, right?
Yeah. You guys got to. When you and Ro were around, we
that place is fucking cool.
Yeah. It's really something else. It's fucking crazy. Like I have gone some days with only touching a computer if I need to install a performance tune on someone's Raptor or something.
Damn.
That's like the only time I'm touching a computer. Like You guys remember those old timey punch clocks where you'd have like your thing, your timesheet, and I do that for my lines now.
For your lines?
Yeah.
I've worked that.
That's
like
how I clock in and out of a line on an RO.
Yep.
It's fucking wild.
You do it manually.
That's strange.
It's stickers. Yep. You peel the sticker off and you put it on the time section on the RO. I did not know there were going to be so many arts and crafts. I do a lot of stuff with stickers.
Interesting.
It's absolutely wild. And now, like, I don't go like this, you know, typing to write my cause correction concern. I, like, write it by hand on the RO.
Oh,
it's
wow.
All weird. It's so weird.
A lot of independents are like that.
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. It's a lot more like working at an independent shop than I guess I had ever anticipated. It's fucking wild. Also, I've been just kind of like thrown in a lot of ways. Not like I don't have support, but I thought they would have me just like literally start out as like an apprentice, like shadowing someone instead of what has happened, which I have my own bay. They bought a toolbox for my bay.
Hell yeah.
Damn.
Fucking crazy.
Sick.
Yeah. Just holy shit. And yeah, we're just like, okay, well, here's an RO and keys. Go bring in that fucking F-250 Super Duty and you're going to do tires. I'm just like,
oh, fuck.
Fuck.
Never mind.
Okay. Here we go. To be fair, that was day two. But yeah, and so I'm in Galpin Autosports is fairly large in terms of like square footage, okay, because there's this massive warehouse space like shop in the back, which is where like the bigger full customization English jobs English. Happen. Like the paint booths are back there, the wrap areas back there, the CNC machines, all of that. It's all back there.
Interesting.
And then there's another warehouse which houses the collection, the legendary collection, the like church of cool automotive. Shit. And then there's the front shop, which has like several bays that are basically open right into the parking lot. The parts department's there. And then there's the store with the merch and the service advisors and all that. So I'm in that front service area where some of the like, quote unquote, smaller jobs. And I use quotes because there's also like, there's a Raptor in there that's being completely like torn apart and re-put back together. And like, sometimes people are doing 2-day on purpose. Yes. The customer wow. legitimately uses it for the Baja. And such. Oh, fuck. So, yeah.
That's, I mean, that's a reason to take the car apart. Yep. Put it back together.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, is it a race car? Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Yep. That's the thing that's happening in the bay next to me.
Nah, I just wanted to see what was in it.
Yeah.
I didn't trust the and factory like, door specs.
Fuck. There's like a Bronco that's been in the same spot all week because it's getting completely 100% rewired for some sort of custom something. Like, so I've been getting glimpses of someone building wiring harness like from scratch.
Interesting.
Insane. But yeah, it's the thing is like that's the oldest part of that whole complex. So like my lift is not made for cars the size of a F-250 Super Duty.
Oh.
The shop is not built for that. So in order to put the car on the lift, like I had to first drive it in like way forward and swing the two arms under and then back it up. And swing the other arms under, and then yeah, I had wow, it was an experience. I've never had to deal with that kind of stuff racking a car. And then I had to
You're triggering a memory.
Yeah, I'm sure I am. I figured I would. I have to halfway close the rolling door behind me to make a little more room, so I get the car high up enough in the air to do things.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was a fucking trip. But on the other hand, we have like a $30,000 tire machine from Italy that's like the most amazing tire machine I've ever used in my entire life.
Takes the tires and it goes like this.
Yes.
I dig out the pasta and I wrap the pasta around the wheel.
Forza. It's pretty fucking incredible.
Fight me in Italy.
However, that was my first fuck up because like by the third Uh-oh. Wheel for the Super Duty... I was feeling fairly confident, even though I've never dealt with truck tires before. Like, I had to keep being like, the hole in the center of the wheel is too big for the thing. What do? Like, no fucking clue. It was a whole different world. And by the third one, I discovered a quirk that this Italian tire machine has by definitely taking some of the chrome off the edge of the wheel. Got
Classic.
That first fuck up out of the way. Woo!
I mean, your fault for putting fucking chrome wheels on a Raptor anyway. Fuck you.
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
It's the yeah.
But seriously,
the Super Duty just has that, I guess. So, I got to redo one of those wheels yesterday.
Wait a minute. Wait. I remember this trick.
Oh, is it the zoom?
There it is. There it is. But fortunately, besides the gentle ribbing that I continue to get, which is deserved, everyone was just sort of like, yeah, shit happens. Someone should have taught you about that. So not technically your fault. Hasn't stopped me from still thinking about it. But
I mean, yeah,
I survived. It is really funny to me that every time I take a tire on, not a tire, a wheel on and off a vehicle in there, like someone is always coming up being like, you know, we have the machine. It's right there. You know, one of those little lifty thingies.
Oh, yep.
To mm-hmm. take the tire up and down for you. And I'm just like, no, I'm fine. I can. This is a choice that I have made consciously.
Did they say it like that? Or did they make like a, you know, that we have a God, I hate that.
Surprisingly and awesomely, no.
Well, you work with cool people. I'm forgetting about that. You work with people that aren't fucking pieces of shit, which I am not used to.
But at the same time, it is much more of an old school shop, and you have a lot more like old school guys and what have you in there. So I was prepared. Yeah. But it's legitimate people being like, you know, your back has to last for more than one car. So just, if you ever want it, it's right there. Like, everyone knows it takes longer to use it. It's fine. Doesn't matter. But then there's me who's just like, no, I'm going to fucking pick up the fucking tire. Get it.
pick up goddamn tire on a Ford F-250.
For the record, I have yet to encounter one that I can't do. Hell so, yeah. So far. So
how
good.
Big?
No strain
do you remember
muscles.
How big the wheels and tires were?
for the F-250 Super Duty, no, I don't remember. But it with the wheel with the tire on and inflated is about, God, at least a third of my height.
Damn.
Do you remember the wheel size at least?
Wheel size was 20.
Damn.
20s. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, you know, just nothing, just some things. But yeah, like I did that and I survived and now I've got the hang of the tire machine. I did an oil change and an inspection on an Alfa Romeo yesterday. I've done performance. Yes.
Bibbidi Bobby.
Bibbidi.
Bibbidi Bobby.
I worked on a 1994 Jeep Wrangler the other day.
Wow. That's
something I never thought I would be doing.
Hmm.
I think it's somebody's like project rescue. The battery kept dying and they had a fuel leak. So I found
crazy.
There's these little, yeah, who knew? There's these little rubber hoses that connect the fuel lines to the fuel filter, and they are in the process of disintegrating.
Mm-hmm. Sick. Sounds like there's a wide range of cars that come in.
Extremely. And like in the meantime, like there are all sorts of Mustangs coming in and out. A couple, like we discussed in our little awesome private chat, like we had some cars belonging to a certain very well-known rock star who will not be named coming in and out of the shop with engines that you feel in your fucking chest every time they start them.
The blower on that car is
holy
insane.
Shit.
Potato, potato, yeah. Potato, 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 potato.
Yep. Yep.
Potato, American motor.
Yeah. And like, I have the guys around me just telling me, be like, it's only a matter of time before you get given a GT. Like, that's going to be one of your tickets sooner
brand?
Or later.
Ford.
Ford.
Oh.
Or Toyota.
Ford.
Oh.
Ford.
A new one or an old one or a GT40?
I have seen literally all of those roll in and out.
Fuck.
One.
Flag Time will be right back after this word from our sponsor. This episode of Flag Time is brought to you by the generous members of the Flag Time Patreon. The Flag Time Patreon is home to the video versions of all of our new episodes and exclusive content for select tiers. Starting at $3 a month, you gain access to every new episode of this podcast and every episode released before you signed up, which is a lot by now, probably. $6 a month is our bonus content tier, which gets you exclusive clips and other creations by our editor. It also grants you access to the Flag Time Discord, where we record all of our episodes. And finally, $15 a month gets you a specific listener interaction segment that guarantees your opinion or question will be shared to the ether of the podcast airwaves. We also say your name at the end of every episode, which is fun if you have a name like Poop Butt 14 or something. So if you want to support us in whatever way you can and want more of our dumb shit, subscribe today. The more of you that do, the less the flat rate system gets to fuck me in the ass. The Flag Time Patreon. Subscribe today to see. Stealth Industries has partnered with me, Serrated Mobius, to bring you Speege and Flag Time patches. Now available over at stealthx.us. That's STEALTHX.US under the Serrated Mobius collection. Go get yours now. We're back to this episode of Flag Time.
This is... Okay, there's like three supercars that I like. This is one of them. Like an 01 Lamborghini Murcielago. Like the first one with the wheels, not the fucking ones with the giant fucking wheels of the, you know what I'm talking about? Like the original like Lamborghini Murcielago poster. Like the yellow one and the wheels. I want a green one. I want it to match my Insight.
Green.
Fuck yeah. I have not seen one of those at work yet. Yesterday my lead got so busy that he couldn't take the time to dispatch to me. So the gentleman who's like my overall boss, he's like the whole shop foreman. He bless you.
And Joe Galpin.
He just close enough at the moment. He came and grabbed me and was like, "Well, I can give you something to do." I'm like, "Fuck yeah, what do I need?" And took me back there. And next thing I know, I'm underneath this just beautiful fucking F-150 Raptor, like top tier, top trim, everything. But this one is being customized for off-road use only. So they've done a engine swap with the 8-cylinder engine from the 250 Super Duty.
Oh, got the V8 Godzilla motor.
Yes. And it Hell is glorious. Yeah. And so I'm under there like installing the modified like fuel and evap lines down there so that on Monday I can install the custom fabricated drive shaft in the fucking thing.
Oh, sick. Hopefully it's the right length.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is round number two, I guess. So,
one of those.
And so at one point I had to go use the bathroom, and I just had myself a nice little cry in the bathroom, because I cannot explain how incredible it feels to get the chance to do these things.
Oh, happy cry. Like, cool.
Yeah. I'm just overwhelmed.
That's not been my experience.
I've done plenty of that in my career. And I know for a fact that the car I know the car that makes me cry in the bad way is in my future. Like, that car is always in your future as a technician.
Yeah.
It's coming.
It's inevitable.
It's coming.
Will it be tomorrow? Will it be the current one you're working on? Yep. Will it be the one that comes back tomorrow? Who knows?
You never fucking know.
Don't come to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Don't show your face around here. But in the meantime, I'm just absolutely blown away. It's still sinking in. I don't quite understand how I am so lucky. Like, it's not like the job is perfect. It's still a job. It still has problems. I still get very
unfortunately
tired. I am covered in bruises of mysterious origins. Like, I am cut to shit. It's like I ended up having to one of my jobs, I was retorquing a custom installed suspension on a 150 Raptor, and there were no lifts available, but it needed to get done. And so there's me on the floor underneath this truck with a torque wrench, and I am 5'6" and approximately 140 pounds, and I am trying to retorque bolts that require 250 foot pounds on the floor. Fortunately it occurred to me that jacks are a thing, so So I ended up like, you know, sometimes you see those videos of people yep. showing, you know, like, you're not a real technician unless you've done this ridiculous thing underneath the car. So it's literally
you ain't a
me.
Real ex because yeah. you yeah. have an ex. Great.
Yeah. But
love that.
It reminded
love
me
those
of those because I'm literally like, I'm under the vehicle making sure the torque wrench itself is in proper place while my legs are outside the edge of the vehicle wrapped around the arm of the jack. Doing the actual, like, I'm using my feet to
classic.
Do the, oh, God.
The jack. The old, I don't want to ask anyone for help wrench. Because everyone's yep. mean.
Well, in my case,
well, not for you, but
I'm the one that's mean. I'm fucking stubborn. I'm like, no, I want to get it. Like, there was another truck. I'm just telling story after story. Please stop me. At some
no, you're,
point.
You're fine.
There you're, was.
Go for
a,
it. That's what we do.
Thanks, guys. I get to ramble. There was a Ranger, no, not a Ranger, a Bronco, customer supplied parts, wanted these aftermarket inner tie rods installed. Multiple techs in the garage had tried to do it. And no matter what any of them did, including my lead, the boot does not fit. Customer swears the boot should fit the factory steering rack. The
customer
fucking company. Swears up and down the like manufacturer icon swears up and down that it fits. None of them can fucking get it to fit.
Did you try trying harder?
I did. Like they decided to give it to me to try. I don't know why. I suspect it was kind of a let's suss out the work style, the work ethic kind of thing or what have you. Maybe they just had literally no other work that they could give me at the moment. I don't know. But like, they literally ended up turning the lights out on me, like, oh. in a funny way. Like, they immediately okay. came back in and were like, no, seriously, JJ, fucking wrap it up. Come on, just let it go. Because I was fucking determined. Like, I showed up, like, I got into the shop, like, 10 minutes early the next day and just, like, set my stuff down, did some of my Toyota factory stretches, and got right back to it. And I fucking got it.
Thought you had a stretch?
What?
They taught you how to stretch? Like the
no,
Toyota
have you
did?
Never have you never seen the Toyota factory workers?
Nope.
Good no. God, y'all. Okay, we're going to have a Japanese culture lesson here later, and I will teach you about the amazingness. But I immediately went back to it, and I fucking found a way to get it to work. Like, I managed to fold the boot over itself and then push. Well, I had three of my little tools for getting like coolant hoses loose that are kind of stuck to their fittings.
Oh, like
I had three of those
or whatever.
There. Yeah, that were working just kind of like little ramps up and over, and I fucking got it. And my like boss is there with me, and was like, he confirmed I really did fucking get it, and then.
Sick.
We found the hole in the boot.
Oh. Tear it all back apart.
No, fuck.
You don't get paid for that.
And I went and checked the other one, which I had not even touched, and it also had a hole in it. I have no way of knowing if they were fucked before anyone even opened the box, if one of the previous attempts ripped it, or if I did it. Which makes me so mad because I have no idea if I can feel like a badass for figuring out how to get the fucker to fit or not.
Das Boot.
But in the end, I floated that we could put the old boots on the new things. My boss went over it and decided it was going to be okay. The customer approved and we were able to reuse the old boots. Fucking hell.
You ever seen those like CV boot,
I just refuse
like
to
axle
give up.
Stretching tools? You ever seen those things?
I've seen those. I don't know
but
if that's real.
But now I want one.
I
want one.
Is that
kind of
like
so
a breastplate stretcher?
I don't know. But
random Game of Thrones joke. Sorry.
I didn't see Game of Thrones.
I'll see myself out.
I'm sorry. My wife wants me to watch Game of Thrones, but I know that the ending's really bad,
it.
I think.
Don't it do is. It. It's a trap.
Okay, that's what I figured. I'm still going to watch it eventually. But
I think Mercedes-Benz CV joint boots aren't stretchy enough for that. I feel like it would rip it apart.
That's what I would think. But like, rubber is amazing. Rubber is an incredible material. And if you just stretch it like evenly, it usually is just fine. Like, I mean, everyone that is probably listening have, if you've ever replaced, like, if you've ever done axles on a Subaru because of like torn boots or something, like there's like a 90% chance that there's going to be a fucking serious vibration in the thing on acceleration and deceleration after you do it. Oof. Usually it's because all the aftermarket axles are garbage. Literally, they're all garbage. Every single brand. It's because they're all the same brand. Track Motive, the SKP, they're all like the same thing in a different box. But if you just replace the boot on the factory axle and then just put grease back in it, it usually, unless the thing's been like run dry or the axle, I've never seen an axle that has a torn boot. I've never seen one that has been so worn out that you couldn't just reboot it and put a fucking, except for like a couple Hondas where they, you know, do that. But
I have on a Mercedes.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, there are a few that I have seen. I'm exaggerating, but like it would be way easier to just take the axle out, put it on a bench, fucking cut the boot off, take the axle apart, clean it, put new grease in it, put a boot on it. It fucking saves the part from going into the garbage also, yeah. Which I think is super cool. I think that's a big part.
I've done
part
that
of,
on the Volvos before.
I think that's a big part of the auto industry that's straight up just missing now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the whole core industry is cool, but a lot of the axles that you get are just new and you just throw the old ones in the garbage when you're done. And some people literally, some shops I've worked for don't have like scrap metal recycling. They just throw the shit in the dumpster and then it goes into a landfill somewhere. Oh. And you're like, what is
that? Absolutely.
What is that? That has been like almost everywhere I've ever worked at. A Honda dealership I worked at was like that.
That should drive me nuts when that happens.
What are we doing here? Why are we just throwing our parts into the landfill? Anyway. Sorry, I'm just a goddamn. I'm a goddamn fucking
yuppie. If you don't see it, it doesn't exist.
These fucking things were one button breaks and you got to replace the entire door card.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For one button.
Like, I'd rather just fix it. I like, even if it's like unrepairable because you can't get parts or whatever. Oh, yeah.
That's what I like about Mercedes is like on the door cards, you can disassemble it and just replace a specific component and then put it back together. So at least Mercedes's build quality is nice in that aspect.
And we get back to that. Every car manufacturer ever.
I think it's only for luxury brands, luxury brand thing. Get good Ford. I don't know.
Woo! Shots fired. But
every car company.
It's very, it's been quite the fucking experience switching to this shop.
Sick.
And to bring it kind of back around to switching shops in general, like, it's always interesting coming into new environments like that, because you kind of never know what you're going to get, and there are the stereotypes about shop environments and what have you. So I know for myself personally, there's always that wonder of like, is there going to be some fucking dinosaur that's going to have a big problem with me being there? Or is everyone going to be cool? And I have been mostly extremely blessed in that regard. So far, so good at the new shop.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I did have one brief moment where someone who definitely meant well did kind of tweak me a little bit, because they went well beyond just helping me with a specific tire machine question that I asked to beginning to explain what a tire bead is.
Oh my God.
And I just kind of wanted to
see what you actually really need to know about this is this thing that you probably already know, but I'm going to mansplain it to you because you clearly don't know what you're talking about because you asked me the question.
Yeah. But in their defense, I do understand.
That's a gag for the audio for the video.
For the audio listeners, Sterling was punching his camera. That's not going to translate.
No, I punched the air in front of the camera. Get it right. I'm not into violent person.
Anyways, in his defense, like I do see that.
Just didn't hear.
I can definitely already tell that these guys are a little confused by me because one moment I'm like, "Hey, definitely never even seen this before. No clue how to deal with it. No clue how it works. What it is. Please." Explain this to me, and it'll be something super basic, like, you know, the difference between truck tires and normal Volvo, Polestar, Tesla tires, whatever.
Our tires.
And then other times there are certain things where I'm like an idiot savant and I just know. Yeah. I just have all this knowledge and know these things and like, oh, well, did you try this thing or did you do that? Yeah.
Wait, you know something about a subject?
Well, I think they're very confused what my experience level is. You know, like they don't know how much assistance I do or do not need because I think I have them way thrown off.
The term idiot savant tickled me. That was good.
I like that. That's the title. The title of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the title of the episode. Yeah. Hell yeah. But, yeah, we've all, like I said at the beginning of the show, we've all had experience switching shops, and it's not hard per se. It's not, you know, like it's a tough decision.
Though.
It's a really tough decision if like you don't know where you want to go or like you don't know what else is out there. It does take a little bit of research. You do have to do a lot of research in order to like confidently jump to a different shop. It does take a little bit of experience. And like, I'll say like when I moved from my first shop to my second shop, it wasn't because the shop that I was at was bad. I was like, if I didn't move in with my current fiance, I'd still be at that first shop. But because I want to have a life with my fiance that I'm going to marry at the end of the year. I know, right? It's weird.
You want a life outside of work? Fuck you.
Well, there's your problem.
It's like asking for way too
much.
There's
your fucking problem.
Being so lazy.
Woke dummy.
Yeah, right. But no, I moved up to Maryland and my second shop, I basically was like, so I just walked in and was like, hey, I'm certified Mercedes tech. I've been with the brand for almost 3 years now. Are you guys looking for a position? And luckily at that same time, they had somebody who had worked there for 20 years retiring. So like
circle of life,
it was immediately, I got the job like instantaneously. I didn't even need to do anything. Oh. They gave me an interview right there. And that has been like a track record with every other shop that I've gone into. Cause that's one of the things I was promised when I first became a Mercedes tech. Like I was promised three things by my recruiter. I was promised the fact that, let me readjust that. I was promised the fact that one, you'd be able to work anywhere in the country. If you're like, you get certified enough with Mercedes, people from all over the country be like, Hey, we need text, dude, you want to work here? So like that has been true. So that was the one thing that was true. The second thing that I was promised was that you would get a raise when you get master certified. That has not happened yet. And the third thing that I was promised is that CDTs are salary technicians, and that is it's kind of vague. I'm not, there's some CDTs that are, there's some that aren't. Depends on where you are. So I haven't gotten CDT yet. If I ever do get CDT and I'm not put on salary, I'm not going to say what I was thinking because that's going to put me on a list. But it's, Yeah. So
freedom of speech is a lie. That shit's not real.
Yeah. It's
like
yeah.
Birds.
If that happens, oh my God. I'm going to be loud about it more so than I am now. But
let's just say,
like, switching to that second shop was relatively easy. Once they told me 5 months in that they weren't going to send me to training, which was the whole point of me being a tech, I was like, I need to become a master certified Mercedes tech. And you are now hindering me from doing that. So I'm going to go somewhere else. And so I was at that shop for 10 months. And what I did for that one was there's two other Mercedes shops within driving distance of me. I went to the one that I'm currently at now first, and the shop foreman wasn't in that Saturday. So I was like, okay, I just gave them my information. And then I went to the second one, which would ultimately be the third shop that I went to. And they hired me on the spot, not really, because it was a corporate dealer and everything was bureaucratic, which should have been my first red flag. And it took 30 days for me to get hired there because they had to go through the whole
forgot about that
yeah they had to go through the paperwork and do all the bureaucratic processes and talk to people higher up. Anyway, so I was there. They got me training to become master. I became master certified at that shop, but poor workload management from management and the fact that, like, they treated these cars like it was a fucking Toyota, it is like, it just wasn't working out for me. So I decided to, you know, switch shops after that. And then switching from that shop to the current shop that I'm at now, I re-went into there and the shop foreman was there, or excuse me, the service manager was there that day. So it was like it was meant to be. I walked in, said I was a master certified Mercedes technician, and his words were, wow, my prayers that I had this morning have just been answered. So it was like, it was one of those things. So I became, again, hired immediately on the spot.
And they won't pay you enough.
Well, yeah, that's the
negotiation.
I love it.
That we're doing right now. So
the world is watching, Mercedes.
Yes, hurry the world up. Is watching. One of your techs has a platform and is severely underpaid. So your move there, buddy boy. But the moral of the story is, if you want to change shops, just do it. It's like my anecdotal experience could translate over to you. I don't know. I can't guarantee that it'd be as easy as like what I experienced, because I didn't even need a resume. Like I was just walked in and be like, hey, I'm certified in this aspect. And they were like, can you start yesterday? So it's one of those things.
Shortage is alive and well.
Yes.
Do not underestimate your value.
I've gotten every job I've ever applied for.
Yeah.
And I've not applied for jobs and gotten them. Basically just because I walked in and was like, yeah, one thing I've always learned about being a mechanic is always keep an updated fucking resume. Literally always, always keep an updated resume, because you don't know when shit is going to turn south, and it could be in 24 hours. I'm not even kidding.
Could happen tomorrow.
Happen tomorrow. It could happen the day that you're there. It could be like, oh wow, I walked into work today and I had a job and now I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen in one day. So always keep an updated resume. And if you literally have any experience in the industry, go get some certifications. Just go, everyone kind of talks shit about ASCs, but if you have ASC certifications, most employers like won't even ask you questions, because ASE questions are basically just common sense questions if you're a technician already.
Then why are they stupid?
If you have... some people are just stupid. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, because every fucking cheap shop buys the shittiest brake clean. And then...
Unless you're in California. Woo! Where the cheap shit...
Thank God for that.
...is fucking illegal. Like everything has to be non-fluorinated, read certain standards. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. California's working worker standards seem to be much better than
a lot of others. The bar is so low.
It's but
so fucking low.
The American bar is underneath something. The U.S. somewhere. It's somewhere below the ground.
Bedrock.
If you keep an updated resume, chances are if you have any sort of experience or certifications, you'll get a job somewhere else. Like,
yep.
I got my ASCs. I got all 9 of my ASCs through an employer. Well, actually, no, I didn't. They offered me an incentive to get the ASCs. They didn't actually pay me to do it, even though he wanted to pay me to do it. But I refused because never let an employer pay for your training unless you can do it yourself. But if you can't, like it's through a dealership or whatever, always take that route. Do dealership training. Honda training is incredible. I learned so much through Honda training, and I was already like an experienced technician. Also, just have an open mind. You can always learn more stuff if you just
be an information sponge. If you're a technician, stop not learning.
Yeah, don't like there is. I mean, you should know by now if you're a technician in any capacity that there is more than one way to do anything, and that's pretty much true in just life in general, honestly. But there's always more than one way to do something. And there is always like someone who's going to be able to pay you more. I haven't had that luck, but even though I've literally been to places where they have paid me more, but then like, I'll give you an example. The last shop I worked at was offering $45 an hour, which is the most I ever got paid. But there was a catch. It was $45 an hour for the first month. And then after that, I was flat rate with no safety net after that at a shop where we almost only worked on cars that were 200,000 mile plus cars from the fucking 90s, 80s and 2000s. Nothing newer than like 2010.
Gross.
Yeah, I have some trauma from that I need to talk through.
Therapist.
Chances are, if you keep an updated resume and if you have any amount of experience, just go apply everywhere. Literally, go apply to anywhere you want. I was only refused hired at one place, and it was a place called Park Place LTD, I think, in Bellevue. And because I was young, I was like 20, 26, 25. I don't know, maybe when I applied there. I remember applying to Park Place. I applied to Seattle Land Rover Jaguar, and I actually turned that down because I realized I didn't want to work on Jaguars and Land Rovers. Crazy. And I remember I dropped off my resume, and I literally remember overhearing, because I don't know if anyone has ever been to Park Place, know that they have like the craziest inventory. It's like Galpin, but Bellevue, basically. Like they got 4 GTs. They had a LaFerrari in the showroom. And I was like looking at it. They had like an old Formula One car from the 60s. I was like looking it up. And I remember overhearing, that guy probably doesn't know the difference between a Land Rover and a fucking Range Rover. And I was just, I fucking walked out of the building right after that. And I was like, all right.
Ouch.
The stereotypes are true for this place. Fuck you, Park Place. also, just like, you're probably going to take a loss if you like worked for someone that like pays you a lot. And this is, I'm speaking directly from experience. When I was at an independent shop, the one that I was doing my 3 hour plus commute a day round trip. Yeah,
I remember that. Fuck.
I was making $35 an hour, I think. It's been so long now. I kind of don't really remember. I remember I was making at least $30 an hour, which I still think is really low for what I was doing.
That's how much I'm making right now.
I was literally the foreman of that place. Anyway, we could get into that another time. I think I've already gotten into that.
You have.
I've complained too much. But like I'm pausing because I'm just remembering just like all the traumas just like coming back.
Live flashbacks.
And it's like it's funny.
The automotive service podcast where we complain a lot about automotive service trauma.
Where I complain a lot too.
I've been complaining past couple episodes quite a bit, my man.
I remember I went from that place because I worked for that shop for 8 years collectively, 4 years. And then I moved to a different town. And then he was like, I'm opening a second location. Come back. And then I went back to manage that place. And then I was like, OK, but I live far away, blah, 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 whatever. And then I went to work at the Honda dealership after that. It wasn't like listen to the fucking podcast. You'll figure it out. And then I went to work at Honda. And I remember in the interview, they were like, sorry, we got to lowball you a little bit, but we don't know your experience. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I understand. You know, you don't know cat.
There's a cat on the screen for the audio listeners.
I remember they were like, we don't know your skill level and experience, so we gotta like kind of lowball you a little bit. And I was like, I mean, you got my resume and I'm telling you this, and I
it's right here, my fucking guy.
Don't contact my previous employer because that fucking asshole's gonna tell you something that probably I don't want you to hear. But I mean, either way, I don't know. I remember being like threatened with violence and then being told to work it out, and I was just like, no man, I'm not gonna do that. That guy picked a fight with me and I refused to fight, and I left the building. That was my answer to that. And he was literally just like, well, you need to figure it out. And I was like, nope, I'm fucking leaving. So then,
I have figured it out. I'm getting out of here.
I have figured it out. I went to the police and I fucking told him the guy's name. So yeah, like if he comes near me, he's going to jail as far as the authorities are concerned. But like,
so fucking unnecessary.
Where am I going with this?
So switching shops.
Yeah, I remember them being like at Honda.
If you get threatened with violence, fucking switch.
Yes.
Also do that. If you get like bullied at your work and your work won't do anything, go to the police and then quit your job. Like, I don't fucking care what the situation is. Unless you're like trapped financially, which then I get it. But again, I mean, there's a situation for everyone. But
The fact remains,
I think,
like,
don't
be scared to try a different shop.
Don't be scared to fucking quit your fucking job and go somewhere else, because fucking anyone will hire you. Quit your fucking job if you have to.
Quit your job.
Quit your job if you work for a corporation.
Jarl says quit your job.
Don't do anything crazy.
There was a post here. I'll read verbatim what I said, actually.
I remember the rest of what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh,
sorry. I remember the Honda dealer. They hired me they gave me like $22 an hour after telling me they were going to give me 25, like almost immediately after they hired me and I got my first check. And I was like, this isn't what you said you'd give me. And then they're like, all right, well, sorry about that. But I'm sorry. Literally, I have never had a good experience working for anybody, actually. I think that's not true. No, actually.
Oh, shit.
No, I haven't ever had a good experience where I've ever worked. And don't bleep the name out also.
Okay, will do. But what I was saying before,
I
was,
hate that so much.
There was this guy.
Yeah, me too.
Like, speaking of like the technician shortage, there's this guy called Chris MF Craig. I don't know if you know who that is, but
I can open my window again.
Sounds familiar.
He posted a reel where he was saying that the technician shortage is caused by technicians telling younger techs to not get into the industry. One of my favorite comments on that reel is like, oh man, people who walk into wood chippers are telling people not to walk into wood chippers.
Hey, that's don't insane. Do that. That was yeah. bad.
But what I said is,
whoops,
it's the pay.
Whoopsie.
It's 100. It's just the pay. I put on there is like, I haven't been fired from my job because I'm quote one of the best diag techs unquote my shop has, and I haven't gotten a full 80-hour 2-week paycheck in over a year. It's been and has always will be the pay. Has always will pay. Always will be.
It's the pay.
It's just the pay. Like that's literally
the pay is a good place to start. That like I think are we just gonna dissect this? We can dissect this. I think the biggest things that are wrong with the automotive industry are the pay, first of all, for technicians and for basically everybody. Like even like the parts people probably wouldn't be as much of an asshole if they were paid properly. Yeah. Like the reason that my parts guy at Honda was an asshole is because he would get like docked if they had to like get a part for a car and like the technician didn't use the part for whatever reason. What so the part fuck? Had to go back and they would dock the pay or whatever of the parts people. Yeah, like it's fucked up in every single department. Like it's not just technicians. It's fucking everyone. It's the service writers. It's
big number like, go up.
Like
oh shit.
It's it's just like that's where it starts. I think the treatment of workers just in general is just horrible. Like the way that younger people are always talked down to. I'm 30 and I got talked down to every year of my fucking life, every job I've ever had. Like there's always been like some older guy in the shop, not old guy, old guys in the shop are always cool. Oh, I have never met an old like technician that's been a tech for like 40 years that has been like an asshole. It's always like the mid-level techs, like the guys that are like 42 and are fucking losers. And they're always like, you know, you just gotta like it's just like you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
100%. There's like a group of guys and it's always men. It's never women. It's never women because every single woman I've ever worked with has been such a sweetheart. Like, yeah, it's literally just men in their 40s. Maybe we can just get rid of 40-year-old men. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's just our problem in society. I don't know.
Either way. 40. Oh, no, I'm
like,
I'm 7 years away from that.
The technician shortage is evidence of the problem. I mean, it's finally getting to the point where they just literally cannot fill the jobs.
This thing, though.
And also, like the way cars are made is just like so conducive of just like, oh, yeah, we'll just throw this shit away and get new shit.
The nature of the work is night and day from what it used to be. Eric really needs to say something.
Eric has to say something immediately.
He's turning red.
The thing about when like higher ups are like, when they're like, we don't know what's causing the tech shortage. That what everybody's saying it. Everybody,
like, you're stupid. You're literally fucking stupid if you say that. You're a genuine idiot, stupid brain, piece of poop.
I want to say the R word, but I'm not going to because. But
ableism.
God, you're stupid. It's the pay. You're not paying your technicians enough. You're not paying them enough. I can't afford things.
I will go out on a limb and say that I have been in situations where my pay has been enough where I didn't have to like worry. I mean, I could think in retrospect that, if I gotten paid like a lot more, I'd be like, all right, I can justify this a little bit better. But the thing is I don't want to justify anything with my literal career that I like worked so hard. Like I was a mechanic for fucking 15 years, man. Like,
yeah.
I was. I don't think I'll ever get another job as a technician ever again in my life, to be honest. If I can do what I want to do and be happy, then I'll never fucking work on cars again professionally as a mechanic for like a company that's not for just like myself. Like, I love to have my own shop and just like work on cars, literally just to fucking help people. Like, that's what I would rather do.
Mm.
But I also kind of don't want to work on anyone's cars except for mine and like maybe my friends. But then I would just turn into a business and that would be great. I would love to do that. But until conditions improve, I am not fucking doing that. You hear me? I'm not doing that.
That was beautiful and also going to be turned into
conditions. You heard it here first, folks.
If
God, the thumbs up just fucking kills like, me every time.
Damn it. I think the pay, the way everything is incentivized, the way customers are taught, the way parts are made now, like
the pay.
Fuck. Like yeah, at the dealership that you know you work for the car, the brand, the parts are always going to be better. But like, I mean, when I worked for Honda, there was a lot of parts that you just straight up couldn't get for like a 2015 CRV, which is like a car that is everywhere. Like, you couldn't get like parts for a 10-year-old or like 12-year-old car, because I guess 2015's 11 years ago now, which is but
no sympathy. No,
the thing is I ramble like this whenever I have like all these ideas, but I have like an idea for a YouTube channel where I like have all these things written down and I like am gonna think about what I'm gonna say before I actually say it, you know, like the thing that you do.
No one does that
normally. But
how do you even do that?
I got a lot to fucking say, and I have a video idea like written down on like what is wrong with the automotive industry.
And yes.
I'm gonna be like, hey, like, just so you know, this is my opinion, this is my perspective. Your experience may vary. Fuck you. Whatever. This is what I gotta say. This is my channel.
I make $200 a week shitting out fleet vehicles.
I've had everything. I've had I've worked at places where I've had a really decent flat rate system pay and made a shitload of hours doing like repeatable jobs. And it was like that at the Honda dealership I worked at for a little bit. Like, it would be like 2 weeks, I'd be like, oh, wow, this is a great pay period. I had a fucking awesome check. I mean, I was still getting like $25 an hour, which is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to bump me up to 30, but they wanted it to go, want me to go full flat rate. And I'm like, I'm not fucking going full flat rate when you literally can't guarantee me enough hours. Like, that's bullshit. And you know it. Like, you are trying to literally pay me less. Like, don't fuck with me. Like, you know how crazy I am, but I'm not like don't go to school tomorrow crazy, but like
I'm you're gonna be on the news crazy.
More like I'll tell the internet all about
one of us
gonna
be in the paper
crazy.
Tomorrow. Yeah, I'd be like, I'm going to never mind.
Teeth thing again.
I got that from my wife.
Was that from that meme where it's like ADHDers when you tell them it's not going to work and then it does and you're
no, it's literally something like she has home videos from her as a child like doing that face. It was just like something great that she's always done. It's adorable. I love my wife. I love my wife unlike a lot of people that I've worked with. I've worked with all the blue collar. I've worked in a blue collar industry. I've worked for 10 different shops. 10 different shops in 15 years. That's how fucking unsatisfied I am. Was. Still am. Currently. in that aspect. I'm happy with my life. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not suicidal. I'm not suicidal. People listening who I'm going to start talking about political content on my own personal page. I'm not suicidal. We can say this on the record in January 10th, 2026. I'm not suicidal. Ha.
It's
January 11th for me.
Document it.
January 11th. Oh, yeah. Well, that's right.
It's midnight.
documented.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, I'm very, very optimistic and I'm very excited. I just got a notification that Let It Work Out by Lil Wayne is now a trending audio for me for Instagram.
Why?
It's weird. I've never gotten that before.
ADHD.
Oh yeah. I don't remember what I was talking about.
Basically, like, yeah, we quit your job, switch shops.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Oh yeah.
If you're unsatisfied, go to a different job. That's
terrifying, yeah. Especially if you have other situations such as being female or not as pale.
Oh my
as
god,
Casper.
I couldn't imagine how fucking rough that would be.
But
well, actually, I can't. I've seen it, and
yeah,
been very vocal when people are mean firsthand.
So it is scary.
Yeah.
But man, it no risk, no return.
Yeah, true.
And like it does suck, but there is a lot of luck involved. Like, I happen to be in Los Angeles, California, which happens to be the kind of place that it is. There's a massive
the land
car culture
of opportunity.
Here. It, sometimes. Yeah,
usually
a lot of cars. There's a lot of car people. There's a lot of people that have money to maintain their cars. There's a lot of dealerships. There's a lot of independent shops. There's a lot of everything here. I'm well aware that we probably have a lot of listeners that are more like in Sterling's situation, where they are not in a major metropolitan area. They're not in the kind of place where if one Honda dealership fucks them over, they can just go to the one across town. I get it.
Yeah. It's like the one in the next Honda dealership is like fucking 2 hours south.
Yeah. But again,
and that would make
similar to
commute.
Sterling. Sometimes if bless you, you've got to take
Thank
stock
you.
Of which things are negotiable for you in your life, in your career, for your health, for your mental health, and make decisions, because maybe
every situation is different.
Yeah, maybe automotive is non-negotiable for you. You are determined you are going to work in automotive. Well, then maybe you need to move.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't satisfied,
that's going to be the answer, because the answer is not to shut out all possibilities of improvement and just languish in the same space, same place forever. There's a time and a place for having your comfort zone, but life is a lot shorter than you think it is. So please do take the risk. I distinctly remember how scared I was leaving K1 Speed. It seems silly now looking back, not just because of where I am, but because of what I was freaking out over losing, which was not a whole lot. You know, I was only making like a couple dollars over minimum wage. I was in a really bad work environment, all this stuff. Like, my hours had recently been scaled down slightly as well. I was crying my eyes out, freaking out over losing this job that I loved and being so scared that this was the only place that was ever going to hire me for automotive, because I am a little bit further on in years and female and have not gone to school and don't have the experience. And I was so scared. And it was one of the best things I've ever done in my entire life, taking that leap and giving it a shot. And similarly, clearly, it was also an amazing choice to take the risk and go to Galpin, even though I literally had current coworkers and also one of the fucking awful coworkers that I had at the first job at K1 echoing in my ear, them telling me, like, you will never make it at a dealership. You will not survive that that environment. You'll not survive, like, those type of guys that are at those places. You won't be able to handle flat rate. There's no way around it. And here I am.
There's more than one way to do anything. What the fuck did I say earlier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, granted, an insane amount of luck involved in my situation. And not everybody can move. Some people have family obligations, what have you.
Absolutely.
Like, so do what's many
right
things.
For you.
So, I fully acknowledge that sometimes certain things just aren't possible. And some of us don't get lucky. But you are worth making the effort to improve your situation however you are able. And please do that if you 100%. Can.
Yeah.
And if you can't, please find a community
for you,
that you can
buddies.
Reach out to. Yeah. Because, like, those unicorn jobs are out there. And, you know, sometimes the good enough job is also out there. And, yeah. So change what you can. Find a community for support for what you can't. And make sure you're not writing off things as not being options just out of fear or lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your mental health matters.
Do the thing.
100%.
Yeah. Fucking believe it fucking or not. Try it. fucking give it a shot. Fake it till you make it. Do the thing.
You miss 100% of the shots thing. You don't take.
Yeah.
You shoot for the stars, you might land on the moon. It's kind of a true thing.
Yes.
Fucking,
or you might die.
Yeah. God but, damn it, Sterling. Fucking.
Sorry.
One last thing. If you're the shop's top earner, like if you're making the most hours out of anybody in your shop, but you're making $23 an hour when you could be making $30 an hour somewhere, you're getting taken advantage of. You're getting your shit pushed in with every hour that you make for that place. So discuss your pay with your coworkers. That's what I'm saying. Anyway,
100%.
Oh yeah. Also, discuss your pay with your coworkers. Literally, when your manager says don't fucking talk about your pay with your coworkers.
Yeah.
Don't listen to that shit.
Yeah, discuss your pay. Discuss
that
your
is
pay.
Literally
100%.
That is like I think that's illegal.
And if you're not getting cost of living raises, you're getting screwed. You're getting screwed.
Yeah, especially if you live in a high income area that is a high
inflation
area.
I'm
takes
in an area
a bite out of your paycheck.
I'm in an area where it's 33% above the national average for cost of living. I could right now.
Poop.
I could
I wonder
right
what
now.
LA's is.
100% right now. Move to an area of the country that is 7% below and make $10 more an hour. I can do that right now, but I would have to like make my breadwinning fiance leave her job and possibly make less. So
in LA, it's 43% higher than the U.S. national average.
Wow. My dealership is 10% below that, and I'm at 30. The fuck is that? All right. Well,
30. God, fuck.
Sick.
Oh, my,
anyway,
oh no.
That was this episode of the Flag Time Podcast. Hope you took what we said it's a genuine advice. Just fucking
also
do better for yourself.
My DMs
revolution.
Are always open. If you need like literally just if you want to ask me something or like talk, if you just want someone to talk to, mm-hmm. I'll respond to you. It might take a while, but I read all my comments
to check and respond to my DMs, but
I read every comment.
Yeah.
I read every single message that anyone ever sends me. Like if you think that I'm not going to read it, I will fucking read it. I mean, if you have sent me a message in the past and I haven't responded to you, send me another one because I'll get a notification. But reach out if you need someone to talk to. Don't take that as a parasocial invite, but
yeah. I mean, I used to use the Discord
I will talk to you
as that
if you
place.
Want.
When I was in a dark
I
place
don't.
With work, I would use the Discord to reach out and just get a little camaraderie and feel like I had, you know, more car friends.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that's cool. There's a community.
The Flag Time community is definitely a thing. We will all band together and tell you to quit your job.
Lovingly. Lovingly. Not lovingly.
Quit your job, respectfully.
Yeah. Sorry, that was supposed to be mostly funny, but also we might tell you to quit your job. But quit your job. Will also support you if you have reasons that you cannot or are not yet ready to quit your job. We will still support you. We will fucking back off.
Figure out a way to do it and supportive. Then do it.
Yes.
Threatening to quit also works as a good negotiation tool, but make sure you have a backup job first.
Because they will call your bluff.
And if
sometimes.
You if you are a technician they and you have not taken the time to make a LinkedIn, this is me telling you to just go ahead and make that LinkedIn and see what happens.
I have never made a LinkedIn.
I made a LinkedIn creator on my thing.
Oh boy. I get offers regularly on LinkedIn. So, I'm just throwing it out
maybe
there.
Maybe that's my whole problem.
I mean, for me, I've never made a LinkedIn. Instance,
this whole fucking podcast is just a LinkedIn fucking ad.
The instance like that the, all I, of it. I upgraded and put it on my profile that I was no longer a Tesla trainee that I.
Post-production Serrated Bobby is here. Yeah, I ran out of storage space at this point in the recording, and I had to spend 10 minutes to move files around, make more space, put stuff in my 8-terabyte external drive. And now we're going to go back into the episode now. Okay, bye.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, I was talking about, random headhunters on LinkedIn. You can definitely get... You never know. You might get a recruiter hitting you up. From like I get hit up by Rivian and they may offer you a rate that's like twice what you're getting at your shop. And then you can go to your manager and be like, hey, bro.
Look what I got. Yeah, that is something
I've
always done.
Give me a reason to stay.
I have made plans to quit my job and then tell the person hey, I'm going to go work for you. And that is what I use for negotiating, and it has worked almost every single time. And
that's
also
something
it'll
that's
be
never
like
worked for me.
It'll be like a really good negotiation tool. Well,
it can be. Some employers will call your bluff. Be. So you need to be either ready to have that hubris or ready to actually leave.
For me, I told them that I was leaving and they couldn't do anything about it. They didn't give me any offer to stay. Yeah. And they were like,
okay, cool. Win-win situation for you then.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So they never.
I've definitely enjoyed very much when the employer has been like, okay, well, what can we do? And I'm be like, no, you.
There's nothing you can do.
That ship has sailed, my guy. Yeah.
I would have been like, give me, match their pay and give me more, I don't know, give me what I want. Fuck. Literally just give me the basics of what I'm asking for and then I'll stay. But that has almost never happened for me. I've gotten some counter offers that were like, well, we'll give you more than they're offering you. And I'm like, no, I am not even going to try. Yeah. I just wanted to give you this opportunity to be like, okay, this is a test and you have all failed pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only one employer has kept me and it ended up being the one that screwed me over the most anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
Honestly, just it's a blessing in disguise if you ever negotiate for something and then they end up not keeping you, and they always say the same. They always say the same fucking thing. Well, we're sorry you're not happy here. Oh man, well, blah, blah. No, you're not. Fuck you. You're literally just saying that so I don't fucking sue you.
Yeah.
Bottom line, put yourself out there. If you make that LinkedIn profile, update your shit, make it nice. And click that little box that says open to offers from recruiters and see what happens. For all you know, your own very own Galpin Autosports type place might be literally out there digging through various places looking for a technician just like you.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Those are like, fucking, that was like the dream for me, but I don't live in a place where that kind of shop exists. The only fucking
I'm very sorry that you're not a Los Angeles type person and that you wouldn't want to be here.
I would. Well, I mean, like I've talked shit about California on this podcast, but I've also listened to things that I've said on this podcast and just straight up disagreed with what I've said because I'm the type of person who will like, I will like have an opinion of something and then I'll learn something and then I'll change my opinion.
Ooh, noodle.
Sometimes. Yeah. Like, I know it's a crazy thing.
It's,
like, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Think of that as you will. I mean, some people are like, well, fucking just change your mind based off of what you see. And I'm like, yeah, that's fucking absolutely do change my mind.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
That's how that's supposed to work.
That's called, I recognize that. And I'm like, yeah, that's not always good, but it's also like, I don't know.
It's
like
I've said
things I disagree with. I think that's just called being a person that can recognize their own humility. I don't know. I've worked with people that are so stubborn that are I was raised by people that were stubborn too, but you know, everyone fucking has parents that are stubborn, I guess.
But yeah, that was this episode of the Flag Time Podcast. We want to thank we want to thank our premium members over on the Patreon. Go follow the Patreon if you want to see video versions of the episodes and bonus content.
How many names do we have?
Quite a few. Here's all of them. Patreon.com/Flag Time Podcast is where you can see the video version of this episode. And we want to thank our premium members over there for giving us way too much fucking money. Rogue One, Forced User, Sports Cards of Suma, Spencer Delfo, Luna Cat Eye, MacDonald Borger, Devin Newby, Vubula, Ansel Fuji, Mopar 1966, Kyle Olson 25, Eli Hip, Mississippi King, JJ the Tech, Midwestern Metalhead 03, Sushi Sausage, Elysium Darkness, Police 428, Starset Moonrise, Nick Toomey, John Montague, 1996, Honda Civic, Chrysler Connection, Horsepower Geek, The Big Maple, Meep Butt in Japanese, Big Blue Caddy, 2004 Volkswagen Polo, Dog Milk 53, Stirworks, Yeller Jeep, TJ, Canute Joel 0319, Sassiest Spoon 69x3, Refamous, Ben Bikes for Beer, GY exclamation Yeet, Astrid KH and Will Swartz. Thank you so much for your generous contributions to this dumbass show. And we're back.
Wow, that was so many names. That was exactly
38
names. Wow, that's crazy.
You want me to dub that in?
I'm so sorry that I am.
You should
12.
You should dub
I'm
the
so
dub how many that count great. Them all and like fucking say it. I think we should just make that a meme in the podcast. Boy.
That's funny. We'll see you guys next time. Have a good one. Bye.